joint meeting of the House and Senate Education Committee this morning on January 20th, 2017. The time is 8:02. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see a full house here this morning. I am Shelley Hughes from District F. Palmer, and from the Senate today we have present Senator Kathy Geisel, Senator Gary Stevens, and I'm going to I'm so sorry, Senator Begich. Yes, welcome. And Harriet, if you could please call your roll, and then I'll make some remarks after that.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Today is Friday, January 20th. It is, 8:02 a.m., and the joint meeting of the House and Senate Education Committees will come to order. Members of House Education present are Vice Chair Representative Justin Parrish, Representative David Tallarico, Representative Jennifer Johnston, Representative Zach Fansler, and Representative Chuck Kopp. Welcome to everyone in the room. We have a quorum to conduct business, and before we begin, I'd like to remind everyone to please silence their cell phones.
Thank you. We're going to go back and forth a little bit, and I also want to point out, I believe this may be the first committee that Representative Drummond in the legislature is chairing, and I want to celebrate that with her. That's an exciting event. Today, one of the things before we get started, I'm going to just read from the remind us that what the Constitution states about education, just so that kind of gets us started. Great. As we begin this 30th legislature in the education committees. Under Article 7, Section 1, it says that the legislature shall establish and maintain a system of public schools open to all children of the state and may provide for other public educational institutions. And also under Article 7, Section 2 and 3, the University of Alaska is established as a state university, which is governed by the Board of Regents. And before we begin, I want to recognize Representative Sponholz is here. And Representative Drummond has some housekeeping items. I want to recognize Representative Thompson is also here. And Senator Von Imhoff. Thank you for joining us. I do believe that this is a pivotal time in Alaska. I think everyone understands that and how important education is. Education is the key to our children's future. And it's very much a part of the American dream. It's what unlocks doors for children as a way to improve their circumstances like nothing else. And I thought, and I asked my co-chair here today, Representative Drummond, if she would agree with this, and she did, and I'm grateful for that. But one of the things that would be really helpful for me is a very brief statement from each of the members to tell your background in education, whether you've served on a school board, whether you've served on the education committee, and then just a one sentence what you'd like to get out of this committee. And I'm probably bringing in maybe the freshest perspective because, and also I'll start, I have not served on a school board. I have not served on the education committee. However, I have four children who went through the public school system. One of them did go to private school for a couple of years, and there were brief episodes where I did a little homeschooling with my children. I have lived, and my kids have been involved in multiple districts throughout the state. I lived in Hoonah, but the kids were too small. But they were in schools in Bethel, Fort Yukon, briefly in Fairbanks, Seward, and then finally Palmer. So I bring a perspective, a statewide perspective of both rural and urban, all the way from kindergarten to 12th grade, and as well as I attended the University of Alaska. So I don't have that official elected experience on education, but I do feel like I represent and can bring a perspective from families and students and parents. So with that, we will, Senator Geisel, if you could just make a statement, please.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. This is my third year on the Senate Education Committee. My background is, first of all, as a mother of three. I homeschooled for 12 years, homeschooling each of my three children through the grade school years. When they entered junior high and high school, they went to a brick-and-mortar school. and to the University of Alaska Anchorage for their math courses because they exceeded the capacity of their high school in terms of math expertise. I have served on a school board. My husband has been a teacher, a certified teacher here in Alaska for 14 years, teaching high school math and science. So I've seen the process from multiple angles as a teacher myself, as a board school board member, and as the wife of a teacher. I've seen their workload. What do I want to do on this education committee? I want to continue the work to increase the effectiveness of our public schools. We know that we come in very low on fourth grade reading competency, and it is my fundamental belief that if a child cannot read, they cannot excel, they cannot go forward in life. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you. I spent 25 years as a professor of history at the University of Alaska, so my background is education. I served as the president of the school board in Kodiak for 3 years, and actually that was at the time that Governor Sheffield cut our budget in half. It was a really devastating time for public education. Actually, it was my bill that created this committee. We only had special committees on education, and then the bill passed that really created two standing committees. And I guess finally, really dedicated to public education, and I just want to ensure that we give our kids the best opportunities they can possibly get.
Thank you very much. Senator Begich.
Thank you, Senator. My experience on in education has been both as a peer teacher in my early years, as a graduate of Anchorage Public Schools. I also hold a degree from the University of Alaska. I've spent extensive amounts of time through my private business working with the Citizens for the Educational Advancement of Alaska's Children on both the Casale and Moore lawsuits, which were brought on departmental lawsuits that affected both the quality of education and the quality of educational construction. So I know both sides of the aisle in that regard. I've done that work since 1994. Also done strategic planning at a number of school districts in the state of Alaska, where I've helped school districts do their planning over time. My hope is that we continue to build and strengthen an education system that will make people, first, want to stay in the state of Alaska, second, achieve their abilities to either go on to further education or go on to meaningful careers as a result of their educational experience in Alaska, and finally, that will attract people to the state because we have an outstanding education system.
Thank you very much. It sounds like the Senate brings a wealth of experience, and I'm excited to have them aboard. And as the chair here, I get the luxury of maybe making a comment because I realized I forgot to tell you two other areas, a little bit of my background, and that's I taught 4 years in a private school, and then I also was a contract instructor in the prison system teaching GED courses. So they're a little more interesting perspective coming from that as well. And also, I kind of laid out how I saw education in our state as a great key to unlocking opportunity. But for this particular committee, I am hoping that we can really look at how we can increase the quality of education so that we have better academic achievement. And I want to protect the funding in the classroom, but I really want to look at how we can streamline administration because of the challenges we face. And so that is, you know, that is going to be goal. And we'll be exploring things as we go through the process. There's things I believe as we're in the 21st century, there are opportunities that we haven't yet fully taken advantage of that I think could improve the quality and save the state money as well. So with that, I am going to now hand the gavel over to Representative Drummond, who's going to run the rest of the meeting. She has housekeeping and then her members, if she wishes them, to give their background.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. We do have a little housekeeping, and then I'll ask my committee members to do their introductions. Today, our recording secretary is, I'm sorry.
Nancy Jones,
thank you. And Alex Bibi Judice is our LIO moderator, assisting with tech and teleconferencing support. Thank you both for being here today. Before we begin, I would like everyone to know that because of the construction over the interim, the three members that are sitting at the side table do not have wired mics like us. You have the wireless microphone, and be sure to hold it close to your mouths so we can be heard and recorded. And you'll have to turn on the mic if it's not already turned on. I'd like to recognize that our colleague, Representative Dan Ortez, has also joined us. And I don't think we have any additional members. Mr. Tallarico, would you like to begin with your background?
Thank you, Madam Chair. A little bit of background in education. I served on the Upper Rail Belt School Board, and I almost hate to tell you what years those were. That was 1976 through 78. But I actually worked on and off with the school pretty directly as a Denali Borough Mayor, and I served as Borough Mayor from 2002 to 2012. But probably what was most rewarding is I had the privilege of being a high school basketball coach at Tri-Valley for 5 years. Maybe the most rewarding job that I actually ever had in my life. That was actually a wonderful thing, and I'm still referred to as Coach T by quite a few of the 33 to 38-year-old former students at Tri-Valley. I'm also a graduate of Tri-Valley High School, as is my wife, two of my children, seven of my nieces, and two of my nephews. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So from preschool through high school graduation, I attended the public schools here in Juneau with one semester off for homeschooling. I then went to UAF, received a degree from there. Then I went to France, and I taught English in France for about a year. Came back here, went to UAS for a while, and got a degree from UAS. I went to China. I studied at one of their universities for a year. Also taught English over there. Came back here, and I substitute taught. Eventually, they asked me to start in a permanent capacity, so I served as a paraeducator for the last 2 years, which job, of course, I had to leave to come here. I'm not complaining. Thank you very much.
Representative Johnson.
A mother of three that have gone through both Fairbanks and Anchorage School District and now have five grandchildren heading in those directions. I had at one point worked in the Anchorage School District as an outdoor educator. My job was to engage what I called seasonal students to school using the outdoors. And I also worked with Cook Inlet Tribal Council doing the same thing. I'm a board member of Education Matters, which came out of the Mayor's Education Task Force. I'm also was involved in a beginning board member of ARISE, which is part of the Cook Inlet Tribal Council education program. 9 years on the Anchorage Assembly, was very engaged with the school district. Usually maybe not on their, I was a budget hawk. But education does matter to me. I think we're supposed to say what we wanted to get out of this. I just want to make sure that our children get an education, and I want to make sure our funding goes to education.
Representative Fansler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. my education background is most recently prior to taking office. I was teaching math at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, the Kuskokwim campus out in Bethel, and I was our math instructor there. And I have a great deal of concern for education. I think it's the priority. I think it's our children's future. And really, I think what I want to get out of being on this committee is making sure that we establish and have an effective, comprehensive education system for our children from pre-K all the way up through post-secondary education. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Sponholz.
Thank you. So, like many here, I'm a product of Alaska schools. I was born and raised here, so I made my way through the Anchorage School District, where I got to enjoy some of the wonderful school choice that we have in Anchorage that is provided for with public dollars, but which give people a lot of options for ways to explore education, which I thought was really fantastic. And now As the mother of three daughters who have made their way through the school district, my oldest graduated last spring. I have explored and experienced both all ends of the spectrum in education. One of my daughters has special needs, is in the special education program, so I saw that end of things. Two of my other children are in language immersion programs and did the gifted program. And so I've seen all ends, and I understand a lot about the challenges that our public schools have, all the way from, you know, kids who have very low, you know, educational sort of skill coming into school, up to the most gifted, and you have to figure out how to meet all of those needs, which I think is really a big challenge of public education. And it's important for us to always keep in mind that the public sector of education doesn't get to pick who shows up to public schools. They have to educate all of them. And as the parent of kids on both ends of that spectrum, it's very interesting to experience that. And hopefully I'll bring that perspective. I also worked in higher education at the University of Alaska Anchorage for 8 years, where I was a part of building what I would call both access to and the excellence of the university by attracting private funding to the university. I'm proud to say I brought about $25 million in private investment to the university during that period of time, where we where I worked on projects that included things like you know, creating an $11 million endowment for science and engineering education and research in partnership with ConocoPhillips, which also included an additional gift to help facilitate the completion of what's now the ConocoPhillips Integrated Science Building, which included outfitting the planetarium and some of those other wonderful things that the legislature did not fund, but that the university felt was really important, and fortunately our friends at ConocoPhillips agreed. But also, you know, funding access through scholarships and funding for students who didn't have the luxury of being able to pay for those things, which I think is really important for me. I'm not a first-generation college student. My mom went back to college when I was a teenager, so she beat me in graduating from college by about 8 years. In my family, I felt very clearly the value that public education has had. I joke that I'm one generation out of a trailer park, and that's because of the tenacity of my mother and the ferocity with which she approached educating us about the importance of education and that it was our stepping stone. And so when we were, you know, all crammed in our little apartment in Mountain View and my mom was studying for her bachelor's degree and I was doing my work, it was really clear to me that I needed to make sure that I got an education, and I'm fortunate now to have both a bachelor's and a master's degree. What I hope to get out of this, beyond making sure that we're taking care of kids on both ends of the spectrum, is I'd like to explore creativity and, you know, giving our colleagues and teachers across the state, our colleagues indeed, the flexibility they need to explore some really creative options. And I've been really particularly interested in some of the creative things that we've been exploring in rural Alaska that allow people to have more kinds of seasonal education, intensive educational courses, which allow people to live in their home villages for as much of the time as possible, and to you know, allow us to respect subsistence lifestyles while still giving rural Alaskans, you know, really high quality education. And I'm really looking forward to exploring that and figuring out how we can do that within the boundaries of ESSA.
Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I am a product of a very diverse educational background, but just briefly, so my nephew is a history professor at the University of Alaska Homer campus. So I think you met him, Senator Stevens, Jeff Myers. My parents were lifelong educators. My dad passed away in 2004. My mom retired at 70 from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. She got her master's in education at 65, so I was really proud of my mom. You know, being raised in rural Alaska in a little village of New Halen, my dad was the only school teacher out there. You really understand how important, thank you, Madam Chair, how important our rural schools are. Really the lifeblood of the small towns that they're in, small villages.
and really understand kind of the rural schools, then coming into the big town of Kenai in 1972, you know, experiencing education in the Kenai borough. And my parents raised me in public, private, correspondence, and homeschool. So I got the very well-rounded education, graduated from the University of Alaska back in 87. And my personal interests go beyond just education. I really believe in our sports programs. I'm a wrestling coach in the 2A and 3A schools in the borough and in Anchorage, and I believe we need to continue to give our kids opportunities to excel. So I had the privilege of being inducted into ASA's first high school Hall of Fame for sports as a multi-sport athlete. So I'm a big proponent of everything we can do to facilitate our programs and our schools and athletics. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. We've got an amazing collection of talent and passion at this table this morning, and I'm really pleased and honored to be serving with all of you. I've been thinking about what all of you have been saying as I've been sitting here, and when I came to Alaska in 1976, I worked for an architecture firm that was building rural housing and rural schools. I got to visit a number of those schools in Bush, Alaska, and it was a fascinating introduction to rural Alaska. As a mom, I became involved in schools in Anchorage when my son was in a relocatable classroom at North Star Elementary School for 3 years in a row. This building had 500 kids going to school in it and space inside the building for just 350. With 11 relocatable classrooms, there was a real need here. And I looked around and realized that the Anchorage School District hadn't upgraded buildings or built a new school in at least 10 or 12 years. And rolled up my sleeves and got to work. And I got elected to the Anchorage School Board in 1994 at the same time that Anchorage voters passed the biggest bond issue they had ever put forward, $175 million bond issue that built two new middle schools, six new elementary schools, and numerous additions and renovations around the district. And I served 9 years on the Anchorage School Board. In fact, my term overlapped with Senator Hughes's brother, John Steiner. And when I came here to be sworn in 2013, I saw Mr. Steiner in the hallways, and I said, "John, it's great to see you here. But what are you doing here in the state legislature?" In January of 2013, he said, "Harriet, you don't know that my sister Shelley Hughes is also getting sworn in with you today." So we are all related in this state. And as an Anchorage School Board member, I had a wonderful experience. The Alaska Association of School Boards, whose executive director Norm Wooten is here with us this morning, is a very terrifically supporting organization that supports the approximately 350 school board members around the state in our 50 plus school districts. And I met school board members from all over the state, many of whom had been serving in their school boards for 30 years. I still see some of those people. Norm is an example. He served in the Kodiak School Board for I don't know how many years, and today he finds himself as the executive director of the same organization, all of whom are dedicated to the children of Alaska. And because I got my start in school facilities, that plays a big part in what we do here in Alaska today. It sometimes makes life difficult for communities, especially the ones that are having to move because of climate change and build new facilities or move their old ones. But it's something that we really need to pay close attention to, as well as, of course, the learning that goes on inside our facilities. My goal this year as a member of the House Education Committee is to make sure that our kids continue to receive a world-class education, that education improve, and that our children continue to have opportunities to move forward in this world in spite of what the adults in this building are doing about the budget. And I think we have a department overview to get to today. Thank you for listening to us. I'd like to ask Commissioner Dr. Michael Johnson and his staff to come up and place themselves on the record. I hope we haven't cut into your time too much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Joint Education Committees. For the record, my name is Michael Johnson, and I am the Commissioner of Education and Early Development.
Heidi Teschner, Director of Administrative Services for the Department of Education.
Excuse me. I'm new at appearing before legislature in this capacity, so I appreciate your patience as I learn how to best serve the students of this state by providing you with the answers you need and the clarity you need to make good decisions on their behalf. I look forward to working with you. Thank you for the way you began today's hearing. That was very inspiring and motivating to hear, and I obviously have a lot that I can learn from these committees and from each of you individually and from you as a whole. And so I'm very excited to be in this role and to working with each of you. So thank you for the words that you shared this morning. I'll follow your lead and just say a little bit about myself. I came to Alaska while in college to work at summer camp and saw how wonderful it would be to get to know Alaskans by working in the public school system. I started as a special education aide in the Copper River School District and then became a teacher, then a principal and a superintendent in the district there, and had a wonderful experience and learned a lot from the folks in that community. So I appreciated hearing your stories and how we can work together to serve the students of the state. There are many, many reasons for us to be excited about the opportunities that are before us. There are a lot of wonderful things happening in school districts in this state, even right now as we sit here in this room. And so the opportunities before us to do great things for Alaska students far exceed our challenges at this time. Before I proceed, and for your benefit, I'd like to take the opportunity to introduce the Deputy Commissioner of Education and Early Development. She may look familiar to you, but Deputy Commissioner Santa Eford. You may recognize her face from Health and Social Services, where she served as the Assistant Commissioner there, but we're very, very glad to have her at the Department of Education. For our presentation today to you, for our overview, Director Teschner and I will provide a basic overview of Alaska facts about Alaska's education system. We'll provide a broad overview of department functions, along with statutory references for each of those functions. We'll provide an overview of basic information about DEED's budget, and we'll do our best to answer your questions. Before I was named commissioner, the State Board of Education began a strategic planning process that included defining a mission and vision for public education in the state. As you know, a mission statement sets direction by identifying the destination of our work, which in our case is an excellent education for every student every single day. That's where we want our work to take us. A vision statement describes what our destination looks like when we get there. For the vision statement, the board uses Alaska Statute 1403015. That says all students can succeed in their education and work, shape worthwhile and satisfying lives for themselves, exemplify the best values of society, and be effective in improving the character and quality of the world about them. And if we can accomplish our mission, that's what it should look like for our students. When we arrive at an excellent education for our students, we want them to succeed in their education and work. We want them to shape worthwhile and satisfying lives for themselves. We want them to exemplify the best values of society, and we want them to be effective in improving the character and quality of the world about them. It's a very exciting work. To accomplish this work, to arrive at our destination of an excellent education for every student every day, the State Board of Education identified 5 strategic priorities. Those priorities are, 1, amplify student learning. And we chose the word amplify on purpose. We want student learning to be the center of all our work. 2, inspire community ownership of excellent education. 3, modernize the education system. There's so much potential, as you said, Senator Hughes, in 2017 to do things that we've not been able to do before. so that more and more of our students get an excellent education. 4, ensure excellent educators for our students. And 5, promote safety and well-being. After our department overview and Director Teschner goes over the budget, I'll return to these 5 priorities. The board will continue their work, the strategic planning process that they've started at our January meeting in next week. So the context for our vision of an excellent education for every student every day is unique, as you know. It's amazing. It's full of opportunity because we're in Alaska. So just a broad overview of Alaska's school system. We have 53 school districts in our state, plus Mount Edgecumbe High School. We have 507 operational schools during this school year, 2016-2017. The public school system in Alaska includes traditional schools, alternative schools, charter schools, correspondence programs, and residential boarding schools. There are approximately 130,000 K-12 students in our state. 9% of that number is enrolled in correspondence programs in the public school system. And we have over 8,000 educators in our state. As you referenced, Article 7, Section 1 of the Alaska Constitution requires that the legislature establish and maintain a system of public education in our state. And I know you read that, but I'll just read that one more time. The legislature shall, by general law, establish and maintain a system of public schools open to all children of the state and may provide for other public educational institutions. School and institutions so established shall be free from sectarian control. No money shall be paid from public funds for the direct benefit of any religious or other private educational institution. And then the purpose for our education system is where we got our vision statement that I stated earlier. And word for word, that statute says, it is the policy of this state that the purpose of education is to help ensure that all students will succeed in their education and work, shape worthwhile and satisfying lives for themselves, exemplify the best values of society, and be effective in improving the character and quality of the world about them.
Commissioner, if I could interrupt for a moment. We're going to hold questions until the end of your presentation. We don't want to hold you up because we took up a significant amount of your time initially. So go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Currently, this is the organizational chart for the Department of Education as referenced in budget documents. I'm currently working with department staff to restructure the department as recommended in the performance review that was conducted under HB 30 and released this past fall. That work is in progress, but we are working to make the structure of the department most effective in accomplishing the mission and vision that I just shared with you. I also think it's worth noting that in 2016, the Department of Education and Early Development has had a significant change in leadership. Not only the commissioner, but the deputy commissioner and the director of school finance. And so we're working hard to make sure that we can meet your needs, but we are a new team, and that has affected our work. And so we're doing our best to learn and catch up to where we need to be. At this time, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Director Teschner, who will give an overview of our budget.
Good morning. Again, for the record, Heidi Teschner, Director of Administrative Services with the department. As you can see from this organizational chart, we basically have 5 divisions and 3 boards and commissions. And I'm going to go through each of them, the functions of each, so you guys know. Starting with the Office of the Commissioner, this is actually referred to as Executive Administration within our budget. If you're looking at budget documents. And there are 5 full-time budgeted positions. Their budget of just over $1 million is 1% of our entire FY18 budget request. Overall, the Office of the Commissioner provides the policy direction and support to Alaska school districts, schools, students, parents, teachers, and department programs. Within the executive administration, step back. So this... As you can see from the org chart, the State Board of of Education Early Development is the head of the department, and they're responsible for adopting regulations necessary to implement statutory requirements. And we do consider them a part of the budget for the Office of the Commissioner. In addition, the Commissioner himself provides leadership and support to all aspects of Alaska's education system by effectively and efficiently managing department programs to facilitate and improve delivery of educational services. The Commissioner implements the policies and regulations adopted by the State Board. And so moving on to administrative services, this section includes our administrative services, our information services, and our deeds, state facilities rent. Within this component, there are 15 full-time budgeted positions. The $3.6 million is 2% of our FY18 budget request. Within administrative services, we provide the centralized administrative management and financial support services to the department, and this includes budget execution and preparation, federal and state financial reporting, accounting, internal audit, procurement, human resource, and other administrative responsibilities. Our information services provides facilitates the delivery of all department programs through their information information technology support services, excuse me. And the department's state facilities rent component basically pays for the leases for the five facilities that we rent to conduct our work. School finance and facilities has 11 full-time budgeted positions. The total budget of little over $2.2 million is 1% of our FY18 budget request. School finance and facilities allocates and accounts for the resources distributed to Alaska school districts and Mount Edgecombe High School, and provides services and promotes safe facilities while supporting quality education programs. Specifically, school finance provides the services to Alaska's K-12 students through formula funding programs and support to school district business offices. Facilities provides assistance to districts on the school construction and major maintenance project, administration, and facility maintenance programs. The K-12 formula programs that run through this section are the foundation formula, pupil transportation, boarding home grants, youth in detention, and special schools. I will address each of those briefly for you. Foundation, which is also known as the public school funding formula, is the primary state financial assistance to the 53 school districts and Mount Edgecombe. And it is set out in statute in AS 1417. Pupil transportation program is a grant-funded program based on using the established district per child cost that's set in statute in AS 1409-010, and it's multiplied by the district's average daily membership, or ADM, less their correspondence, so it's basically just the brick-and-mortar students that are calculated. And this program is set out in statute in AS 1409. The boarding home grants, there's two types of grants underneath the boarding home, and there's the secondary boarding home stipend program and then the statewide residential program. The stipend program provides grant funds to school districts that serve secondary students who do not have access to a school of appropriate grade level where they reside. So we provide boarding care and transportation to and from the school of to the closest place for them to attend. And the statewide residential program provides funds to school districts with approved residential programs for high school age students that we would provide a stipend and boarding costs and one round trip ticket for approved programs. And currently there are eight across the strait, and they're located in Anchorage, Bethel, Galena, Kotzebue, Nenana, and Nome. The youth in detention program funds are allocated to school districts that provide educational programs to incarcerated youth, and that's set out in AS 1407-0205. The educational programs that are provided year-round, and there are eight facilities that receive funding. And finally, the special schools funds provide supplementary educational services to students with severe disability conditions. under this, they have the CESA, the Special Education Service Agency, receives funds. And they are, CESA is governed by the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. They provide outreach services to school districts that serve low incidence, severely disabled students. The Providence Heights School is a program that's operated by the Anchorage School District. Students enrolled in this program are patients of the Alaska Psychiatric Hospital. And the educational program is an important part of their treatment. And the Alaska School for the Deaf is an there's an instructional component which is operated by the Anchorage School District, and there's a residential component that is operated through the Department of Health and Social Services. Teaching and Learning Support is another division. It's our largest division currently, and it provides support through federal program funding and compliance, academic standards, academic assessment and accountability, state system of support to increase school effectiveness, and they have active partnerships. Totally within their budget, they have 65 full-time budgeted positions and the budget of just over $237.6 million is 14.6% of our budget. Within teaching and learning support, we have various components: student and school achievement, state system of support, teacher certification, child nutrition services, early learning coordination, and pre-kindergarten grants. Within student school achievement, they provide resources to school districts to ensure that special populations of students meet the state's high academic standards to improve performance through professional development, school accountability, standards and assessments, and to provide school districts and stakeholders with high quality information to aid in data-driven decision-making processes and reporting. Within student school achievement is our largest federal funding, and those include programs as the ESEA, ESSA title programs, special education, we have 21st Century, Carl Perkins, among others. State system of support supports school districts as they build their capacity to implement sustainable school improvement strategies. Our teacher certification section ensures that only qualified applicants are certified to teach in Alaska and that teacher education programs in Alaska conform to nationally recognized standards. Child Nutrition Services supports health, learning, and academic achievement through federally funded child nutrition programs. Those programs include the National School Lunch Program, School Breakfast Program, the Summer Food Service Program, Child and Adult Care Food Program, Fresh Fruits and Vegetables, USDA Foods, and Emergency Food Assistance Program. The Early Learning Coordination supports services and grants that provide locally designed comprehensive child development programs encompassing all aspects of a child's development and learning, with a focus on school readiness. Some of the programs that you might recognize under here are Head Start, Parents as Teachers, Best Beginnings. Our pre-K grants provide a voluntary comprehensive half-day preschool program for 4 and young 5-year-olds. If you remember from the org chart, we have 3 boards and commissions. 2 of them are addressed on this slide, starting with the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, also referred to as PTPC. There are 2 full-time budgeted positions, and they have a budget of $300,000 and $3,000. Professional Teaching Practices Commission's intent is to serve a preventative and focused positive force in helping to enhance the professional performance of all educators so the public's right to the best education possible of all students is adequately protected. The commission is made up of 11. Let me just get this right. Hold on a second. So it also ensures that the members of the teaching profession in Alaska are ethical and qualified educators. It's a 9-member commission that imposes sanctions against the certificates of educators who engage in illegal, immoral, and unethical conduct. The commission is comprised of 5 teachers, 1 superintendent,
one principal, one representative of the Department of Education, and one representative of higher education. The Alaska State Council on the Arts has 5 full-time budgeted positions, a total budget of a little over $2.7 million, and is 2% of our FY18 budget request. AS 44.27040 created the Alaska State Council on the Arts within the Department of Education. Their mission is to foster the development of arts for all Alaskans through education, partnership, grants, and services. Per statute, their council consists of 11 members, and they're widely known for their competence and experience of interest or interest in connection with the performing, visual, and fine arts. They offer a variety of grants, some including the community development grants, artists in school grants, arts and education grants, and the Rasmussen Foundation grants for the Harper Arts Touring Program, among others. They also manage the State Percent for Art Program that includes the Contemporary Art Bank, which is a program created to achieve 2 primary goals: to expose more Alaskans to high-quality work by contemporary artists within Alaska, and those can be on lend for 2 years. So art you might see around this building mm-hmm. might be part of that art bank. Mount Edgecombe High School is our state-run boarding school. Located in Sitka, there are 56 full-time and part-time budgeted positions. 29 of those positions are teachers. The total budget is $13.3 million and is 8.8% of our department's FY18 budget request. This also includes the state facilities maintenance, the costs that are to run the maintain the buildings over in Sitka. Mount Edgecombe provides a comprehensive residential high school for Alaska students, as well as provides a quality secondary educational alternative in a residential setting for approximately 400 students from over 100 communities across Alaska. The Libraries, Archives, and Museums Division has 53 full-time budgeted, full-time, part-time, and non-perm budgeted positions. All of the staff are now located in the new Andrew P. Kashaviroff, the APK building, now located here in Juneau. The total budget of $13.3 million is 8% of the FY18 budget request. Within Libraries, Archives, Museums, we have our library operations, our archive section, museum operations, online with libraries, and live homework help. Under library operations, they have a historical collection section, an information services section, library development, and the Talking Book Center. Archives is broken out between their archives section, their records management program, and their imaging and microfilm services. Museum operations, they have a collections and educational section and a museum development section. Online with libraries, which is also known as OWL, builds capacity for Alaska's public libraries together with E-rate and local contribution. And it helps fund the basic broadband internet and supplying video conferencing capability, training, and content for Alaskans. Live Homework Help provides online tutoring services with accomplished, vetted, and monitored tutors. They provide tutoring in math, physics, chemistry, biology, and writing for grades 4 through college. And the last commission under the Department of Education is the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education. Per AS 14.42040B, the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary is actually not considered a division of the Department of Education, and they are strictly under the Department of Education for administrative support only. They are not subject to the direction of the commissioner or the state board, and I just wanted to make you guys understand that. But I will address that there are 86 full-time and non-perm budgeted positions. They have a total budget of $45.6 million, and it's 2.8% of the department's budget. Underneath Alaska ACPE, is their program administration and operations, their WAMI medical education, the Alaska Performance Scholarship, and their Alaska Student Loan Corporation. Their mission is to promote access to and success in education and career training beyond high school. The WAMI program, which has 20 students admitted annually, increases Alaska's physician workforce by providing public medical education to Alaskans and providing residency training for medical school graduates. The Alaska Performance Scholarship is a collective academic achievement for Alaska students. It's central to the program. Central to the program are the eligibility requirements that students engaged in a rigorous secondary education program of study, and two, perform well on standards-based college and career readiness assessments. The Student Loan Corporation's mission is to operate as an enterprise agency of the state of Alaska, thereby funding and facilitating the work of the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. So that's an broad overview of the functions of the department, and I'll get into some budget detail. As you can see from this slide, our total budget is a little over $1.6 billion. The chart on the top breaks it out between our K-12 formula programs and the agency and program operations by fund source. And as you can see, 80% of our entire budget is the K-12 formula programs, which again are the foundation formula, pupil transportation, the boarding home grants, youth in detention, and special schools. The chart at the bottom just breaks it out by fund source. So 82% of our budget is general funds, and that's the designated general funds and the unrestricted general funds. 15% is the federal funding, and 4% is other. Now we're going to look at the budget by line item. 2% of our entire budget, $32.8 million, is our personal services. 3%, or $54.3 million, is our other lines, and that includes travel, contractual services, and commodities, supplies. And then 95%, $1.5 billion, is all of the grants that go out the door to stakeholders, school districts, and other nonprofit grants. And this is all funds. Slide 15 will show you, for the UGF funding only, that 1% of our UGF budget is personal services, 1% is other lines, and 98% of that is grants out the doors. And now I'm going to pass it back over to Commissioner to talk about the next steps.
Thank you. For the record, Michael Johnson, Commissioner of Education and Early Development. In closing, before questions, as you heard in Governor Walker's State of the State address, he stated that we need to rethink our entire system of public education in Alaska. Though many students in Alaska receive a great education, far too many do not. We need to make sure the system of public education in Alaska works for all of our students. Over the next couple of weeks, we will be communicating details on how this rethinking of our system will take place, including an invitation for each of you to be directly involved in that process. In 2017, we can be better and we can be more efficient. And I hope over the next few months to share many examples of how districts are already being better and more efficient by innovating and finding new ways to deliver an excellent education to every student every single day. So I look forward to working with you. I look forward to learning from you as we meet Alaska's education challenge. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner. Questions? You did a great job. Okay. Let's start with Senator Stevens.
Just a comment. Thank you, Commissioner, and welcome aboard. Glad you're here. I think one of the omissions in your presentation, and not yours, is the board, the state school board. We seldom hear from them, and I'd like to encourage both chairs to occasionally bring the state board before us. I mean, they play a very key role. I know they don't work for you. You work for them. But that's an omission that I think we need to clarify in the future if we can.
I appreciate that, Senator Stevens. They only appear to make a presentation once per session, as I recall, and it was simply the board's chair who makes a presentation. And we do, for the benefit of new members, this body gets to move appointments to the State Board of Education as well as the Board of Regents forward to the full body for confirmation. Representative Johnston, you had your hand up.
Yes, through the chair. Thank you very much. I'm excited. It seems that with a whole new strategic plan and a new commissioner and deputy, we have exciting times. I hope in your continuation of the strategic plan that you're going to have ways for us to measure for our benefit as far as the budget effectiveness. One thing I didn't mention in my work with students is I never found a student that wasn't extremely bright. So, and we do have a lot of very bright students that we have not been able to, who haven't had the educational opportunities. So all of your new strategic plan, I hope, as I say, I hope effectiveness is part of your program and allows us to then fund in the way that is best for everybody.
Senator Begich, sorry.
Known each other for years, Representative. Commissioner, I just first a quick note. I note, Ms. Teschner, you're both the Director of School Finance Acting Position and Director of Administrative Services. Are you considering combining those, or are you keeping those separate?
Through the chair, Senator Begich. Yes, that's part of the restructuring process that we're going under, and so those positions would be combined.
Okay. And then the second question that I had for you, and it ties into the two comments made here. The State Board actually is established through the chair. The State Board has actually established this strategic plan, and they're moving forward with the strategic plan. So I would encourage you to have the State Board actively involve both committees in that process. I've known that the plan has been in process for some time, but I think we might have some insights that would be provided, and so I would encourage you to do that. And then also through the chair, I forgot to mention that I both have a wife who's been a teacher before, my wife Sarah, and two of my sisters have been teachers. Both my parents were teachers. My father was also a college educator and helped establish much of the education law in the state of Alaska. And finally, my sister Michelle is now the principal of Dale School, the Laughlin School, and also helped found the Crossroads Program.
And I'd like to note that Senator Begich's wife, Sarah Sledge, is present in the room as well. Appreciate it. Let's see. I lost track of the number of hands up. Representative Kopp, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Congratulations, Commissioner Johnston and Deputy Commissioner Effort. We're really pleased to see you here. Excited about the future of education in our state. And, you know, necessity is the mother of all invention. And in times when we don't have a lot of money, that is when, you know, exciting new things can even be discussed, or maybe politically it was impossible to even think about before. But I look forward to some new and creative ideas from you guys. I think the Mount Edgecombe model is really exciting, and I don't know, you know, it's similar to the Galena model, I believe. And I'm hoping that maybe, you know, we can look at, along with the governor's call to rethink, maybe structurally how we're doing things, where a residential high school may also work in other areas of the state, depending on the numbers of schools that are right on that tipping point, even being operational within districts, maybe consolidation of some districts, and just thinking along those lines. I think there's great ways we can push money down to teachers in the classroom and maybe structurally arrive at things that are efficient and in terms of time and cost and effective as far as the outcome that we're looking for. But thank you for that liberty, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Kopp. Any other questions? Senator Hughes, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for being here, and I am excited to have you on board because, as Representative Kopp just mentioned, innovation at this particular time is really where we need to go. And as I mentioned, I have had experience across the state, and I have a real heart for the students in the state. And I'm going to say something that I've said privately, but I'm going to say it on the record. And that was when I was living in rural Alaska, when my oldest son was fourth grade. We, as a family, had to make a decision, were we going to stay there for the long term? And education was one of the reasons why we came in. And now, as the chair of the Senate Education Committee, I have a real obligation to the students in this state. If I was concerned and didn't want my children going through the school in the rural areas, I have an obligation to make sure we do all we can to really focus on the rural areas and make sure that we offer something that is going to really work. And about a year ago, I hold coffee chats at a local coffee house in downtown Palmer, and various folks come forward, bring different issues. And there was a gentleman who's a teacher. He came a number of times, and he said, I don't think we need to reform education. I think we need to transform education. And I mentioned that to the commissioner, and I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I do think that we can take advantage of some very innovative technology. I think that we could, particularly for the rural students, and I believe urban students could take advantage too, we could do things in a whole new way that would increase the opportunities for students. And I'm hoping over the next month or so to hear from communities and have communities sit up and take notice, families, parents, schools, those school officials in the rural areas, to get their ideas, to get their input, to explore the possibilities with us. And I know, Commissioner, you, as working in the school district from which you came, you employed some different things that you might be able to bring to the table, and we can talk about further. But I don't know if you just want to touch on that at this point and maybe light a little fire of curiosity in the members of this joint committee.
Thank you, through the chair. I'll just restate that I think in 2017 we have incredible opportunity to provide an excellent education in ways that we've never been able to before. And many districts are already doing some very exciting creative projects in their districts to improve quality of education. And so I hope over the next few weeks, as the committees discuss this, that we'll have an opportunity to hear from superintendents, teachers, other folks in those communities about what they're doing. In Copper River School District, the district's gone through a very challenging time, and even as I sit here before you today, Kenny Lake School is on my mind and heart. They've gone through a dramatic decrease in enrollment, and it's been a very difficult adjustment for them due to the economy and other reasons that have happened to that school, and yet we still want to provide all those students with a great education, and that's happening all over rural Alaska. We can now, through technology and other innovations that districts are doing, deliver great instruction in ways that we haven't before, using so students can participate in class live with a teacher that's passionate about their content area. And so in rural Alaska, you have many small schools that have one or two teachers, and those teachers are working very hard to meet all the academic content areas. And in 2017, with the technology that's out there, and not very expensive technology, we can have more opportunity for students in those schools to receive instruction from teachers that are passionate and experts in specific content areas. So that's just one of the innovations that's taking place out there. I look forward to sharing many more that I think the committees will be very interested in, and will do just what you said, improve our education system, and extend the benefit of excellent teachers to more and more of our students.
Thank you, Commissioner. Go ahead, Senator.
Yeah, and thank you for that. And I just want to mention that that little story that I told you about my son, that took place in the 80s, and I have deep admiration for the teachers. I know they're trying very, very hard, but as you pointed out, one or two teachers is trying to cover a lot of things at a lot of different subject areas, many different grade levels, very difficult, even for the best teacher on the planet, that would be difficult. So I am excited, and we will be focusing on that, just to give you a heads up, in the Senate Education Committee, and I encourage the chair of the House Education Committee to consider doing the same, to exploring some new types of delivery models that take advantage of technology, and I believe, as you said, would improve the quality. You know, I opened up by saying I want to try to keep the money in the classroom, but I do believe we need to increase the quality, and in a way that will engage the students. And we all know technology with young people is something they're very much attracted to. So I think it is something that has great potential. I think students who live in a village with just a handful of their peers, if they had the opportunity through technology to connect with peers in other parts of the state and other villages, they would jump at that chance. So I think on many fronts, was thinking that to learn, for instance, a foreign language in a village, they only can learn that foreign language if that particular one or two teacher happens to be skilled and able to teach it. But if we use technology, all of a sudden a whole new world opens up, and they would have options as far as what language they could take. And that's just one example. So I'm very excited about this, and I appreciate your leadership that you've done some of that. We're actually going to be we're working with my committee aide, Joshua Banks, to have some opportunities to hear what's happening as far as what you have done. I believe you're going to be bringing in someone from your district so we can hear from them and how that's working. And so I just want to get people kind of on board and be thinking about transforming education and what that might look like. This is the 21st century, and that's one of the things as we prepare students. We don't know exactly what the future is going to look like in 10 or 20 years, but we do know that knowledge is exponentially increasing. Access to knowledge it's a whole new world, and even how that knowledge is being applied and exponentially to all kinds of new opportunities. It's mind-boggling. And we have to teach in a different kind of way. And so look forward to that. And yes, I just am very excited about what we're going to be learning and what we might be able to offer to our students in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. I have Senator Begich and then Senator Stevens.
I want to, through the chair, to you, Commissioner, I want to echo the enthusiasm for reforming and transforming education. A critical component of having 21st technology applied, in particular to rural schools, is having not 20th century but 21st century broadband application, etc. I'm curious where we are with broadband expansion into rural Alaska so that we don't continue to create disparity between those who have access to broadband and those who do not. So where are we with that? What do we need to do as a Senate and a House to ensure that we have broadband access so we can be innovative in rural areas, in particular areas that are underserved, that are performing low, that need access to more teachers? So what can we do to improve broadband access and ensure that 21st technologies are available to all Alaskans in an equitable and fair manner?
Through the chair, thank you for that question, Senator Begich, and thank you for highlighting the issue of bandwidth, which is a real issue for some of our districts in the state. I don't have specific data here with me, but we definitely can get that. And I also would encourage the committees, AASB and Mr. Wooten, and even also Lisa Parity with ASA. We've been having conversations with them about that issue and what the specific needs are. It obviously changes as more and more communities get better bandwidth, and so They have the most up-to-date data, but I'll ask them and get back to you, but I also encourage the committee to interact with them. Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you, Commissioner. If you would please define the acronyms before you use them, AASB and AASA. I'm not up to speed on all of them. If you'd please define those, especially for our new members, and then acronyms afterwards.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I know exactly how you feel. Mm-hmm. AASB is the Alaska Association of School Boards. Mm-hmm. ASA is the Alaska Superintendents Association. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. Senator Stevens.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I can't let this opportunity pass without bringing up civics education. And it's an issue that I think is so extremely important. The reason we have public education, the very reason for it at the beginning of our country was to create a citizenship, to make sure people understood what it meant to be a citizen. Mm-hmm. And Franklin, coming out of the Constitutional Convention, was asked what kind of government have you given us, and he said, a federal government, if you could keep it. That's so important, if you can keep it. We can't keep it if kids are involved, they don't understand education, they don't understand the civics, they're not involved, they don't vote. The last major exam nationwide showed that we've really gone downhill. Kids do not know what it means to be a citizen in this country. So I think it's an extremely important issue. We've created a system now where we've concentrated more on science and math, and that's really important. I'm glad we're doing that. But along the way, we've forgotten social studies. We've eliminated citizenship studies. So I really hope you, as a commissioner, will keep that as a key point to try to make sure that our students, as they leave our schools, are involved in civics education. I myself call my children every election day and make sure they've gone to polls. And kids should be aware that it's an obligation, it's a responsibility, and it's a great right that they have to be involved in our government.
Thank you, Senator, for reminding us. I think Representative Fansler has not had an opportunity to ask questions yet.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the Chair, I want to echo the statements I've heard about the broadband concerns, because Western Alaska has a deficiency of broadband for my region, and it is something that is paramount concern to me. This is something that, if it's not fixed, if it's not made better, will leave our students behind, and they will not be able to advance in a transformed system that's perhaps relying greater on distance delivery, things like that. So that is an utter concern for us in my region and my district, and I know in other parts of the state as well. One of the other things I wanted to also mention for curriculum development is something that is key to, I believe, this transformation that we have. Integrating traditional and cultural norms into our curriculum is something that I think is incredibly important. I think many of the schools I know in my region do an excellent job with Yupik immersion, having days where they speak entirely in Yupik one day and in English the next day, and that's a good start, but it also helps if they can incorporate traditional values and incorporate traditional teaching methods and things like that into the curriculum itself. So that's something that I think is of great concern for our region as well.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Sponholz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I want to echo the concerns about broadband. I think that as we move forward and we're looking at new models, some of the most exciting models involve that distance education piece, where you can bring in, you know, teachers who have expertise and passion for a particular topic that can reach out to a lot of communities. And so that's going to be really, really important. And I want to echo that concern. It's been mentioned a couple of times. I want to cite share an example that maybe not everybody in the room is aware of, but I think that it illustrates that there's a lot of different ways of doing distance education. And a few years ago, the university was struggling with how it was going to meet the nursing education need across the state of Alaska. And Karen Perdue led an aggressive effort to completely revisit and shake up the model. And the result is an integrated delivery of nursing education throughout the state of Alaska through all three universities, which involves teachers of excellence providing nursing education to communities throughout the state in their subjects of expertise with local teachers that are there in person, so that there's always, you know, a local person in the room that can help, you know, provide, you know, hands-on support, homework support, those kinds of questions. Through the use of technology, the university was able to, you know, maximize its faculty resources and provide a lot more nursing education, and it was able to ramp up and really and double the number of nurses that it was educating in a pretty short period of time. And so I think that's a great model. Now, the university was blessed with facilities, and that brings us back to that broadband issue, that we had facilities and we had a lot of IT infrastructure already, and that's the challenge, that if we're going to implement a similar model, you know, or test out similar models, I know that you've been doing some of that in Copper, and that's in some other school districts have been doing that as well. We're really going to have to make sure that we do a good job at that, but I think that there's just lots of evidence that you can bring, you know, high quality education, and I really particularly liked your example of, you know, bringing in language education, or, you know, that I think about, you know, some of the challenges we've had with making sure that we get, you know, high quality math and science education in rural Alaska. And we've had to create whole new programs like ANSEP to help address that when there might be simpler ways that provide access to more students across the state to that kind of high quality education. I also just want to echo Senator Stevens' concern about civics education and us not getting lost in just looking at science and math. Science and math are incredibly important, and they're, you know, important technical skills that help us get through, you know, will help us move into, you know, the future, but we are nothing if we're not citizens and we're not knowledgeable and about the way our country came to be, about what it means to be a citizen, about what it means to participate in our communities. And civics education isn't just about understanding what our founding fathers have done, although I think that's incredibly important, and I've been spending quite a bit of time reading about it over the last year as a way of informing my work here in the legislature, and it's been really wonderful to do that. But it's also about that hands-on local involvement. And I think back to, and I've mentioned this in the task force, and I want to thank you for chairing the task force and for allowing me to be a part of that this year. It was fantastic. I interned on a political campaign when I was in high school, and there was just nothing that wets your whistle for being involved in the process and understanding that anybody can make a difference than just hands-on being there. And of course, you know, I had to write papers and, you know, explain what it was that we were doing, but it was really, really exciting, and I credit that experience with my being strongly involved in my community for the last 25 years. And so I want to make sure that we're just not losing sight of that sort of that hands-on local stuff, which can tie in really well with cultural education and language and all of those things. I just want to make sure that I you know, share that perspective.
Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the conversation about the broadband and distance education. I had the privilege as a healthcare professional to work for the North Slope Arctic Borough School District for 9 years. This was in the early 2000s, and I would walk into one of those 8 village schools, and you're probably familiar, Commissioner, with how distant those schools are from each other. I could open my laptop and be immediately connected to the Internet. So this was, well, the last time I was up there was about 6 or 8 years ago. So it's been going on for a while. The technology's been available in the North Slope Borough. Northwest Arctic Borough. Visited that several times, the Kotzebue area. They have a distance education program. Teacher sitting in Kotzebue in that education center communicating with three different schools and villages in that borough. So it's been going on for a while and certainly been tested in these distant communities for a while. So I ask myself as I listen to this conversation, what's different about those two boroughs? And sometimes I think in these committees, we get into a siloed mentality. We're talking about education. But education in this situation, we're talking broadband, distant education, is really facilitated by the resource development that has been happening in these two boroughs. We have the oil industry in the North Slope Borough. We have a significant mine, the only taxpayer in the Northwest Arctic Borough, that is facilitating the ability of these organized boroughs to provide substantial education. So as we talk about this, I would encourage committee members to also think about the fact that the more we can develop Alaska's resources, I'm talking about minerals and oil, gas, fishing, timber, etc., this builds that education basis too. These are all integrated subjects. And as I always say, the best social program is a good job. Families and the input of families and engagement of families in education makes a huge difference in their children's ability to excel in education and their teachers, the teachers' abilities to engage with those students. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and through the chair to the commissioner. I'm interested in knowing what efforts are being made to improve teacher retention within the state of Alaska.
Through the chair, thank you, Representative Parrish. Last year, over 12% turnover rate in Alaska. That's one out of every eight teachers in our state. That's a significant issue because even if you're using technology to deliver instruction, the quality of the teacher is still one of the most important factors in a child's education. And so the value of our teachers cannot be overstated in terms of quality and delivery of instruction. That's a conversation that the educator excellence part of rethinking our education system that I look forward to engaging with legislators, leaders in our communities, business leaders, Department of Labor, Commissioner Dragas, University President Johnson. We've had recent discussions about that issue, and so I don't have any specific initiative to share with you today other than to say it's a frequent topic of conversation that I'm having with a variety of people, and I think it'll be something that you hear more about as we go through these conversations. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Did you have a follow-up?
No, that's all.
Okay, thank you. Representative Tallarico. And just one moment. I've been informed that Senator Hughes says the senators must get going at 9:30, so we'll wrap it up. But if the House members want to continue and the commissioner and his staff are available, we can go until 10.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Mr. Tallarico.
And Commissioner, congratulations on your position. I know that Congress adopted the ESSA plan, or Every Student Succeeds Act, I believe that's what it is, which is a vast improvement over the requirements they'd had before. But I believe that we're probably in the process of developing a plan that we need to submit. And do you have any update on where we might be at? I believe you had told us before that a draft plan might be available potentially in March. How is that process going?
Through the chair, Representative Tallarico, thank you for the question. The Every Student Succeeds Act it's an application that we're filling out to the federal government, and so that application is being drafted as we speak. The department, before I became commissioner, started the process of getting stakeholder input through a stakeholder committee that was selected to represent all of Alaska. We continue to have community meetings to get input from Alaskans. Staff at the department attend these meetings, but some of these meetings are also sponsored by local school districts or tribal organizations, teacher associations. So the drafting process is ongoing. We do hope to publish a first initial draft this spring and then give Alaskans an opportunity to react to the draft and then revise that draft before we submit it. Under the current context in the federal government, we are scheduled to submit our application on September 18th. Some states are submitting their application in early May, and some of those drafts are available online, and I'd be happy to get you links to some of those drafts if you'd like to see how other states are answering those questions in the application. And I look forward to sharing how our first draft of that, but obviously we want it to be a draft and we want folks to react to that and then revise it as we go.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. I'm going to limit it real quickly, Representative Kopp. Okay.
Commissioner, I appreciate Representative Parrish, his comments on teacher turnover, and you said it was 12%, but I think it's as high as 70%. Most of that 12% comes from probably rural Alaska, where teachers are turning over at a rate of sometimes 70%. I've spoke with superintendents that said just that the turnover of teachers, then having to retrain new teachers, and then retrain, and it also breaks down the continuity in the lives of the kids. You constantly be losing that teacher after a short period. So I hope we're looking at that very intensively to see how we can support teachers and encourage those in the outpost. Now, we're not losing them out of the state at 70%. They're finding jobs, a lot of them, you know, back in town. But we really do need to look at that, because the most important curriculum, I believe, that a child ever has is not in a book. It's the life of the teacher in front of them. And the more stability, continuity we can give. And then finally, Madam Chair, I think what Senator Stevens said about civics education and citizenship, it cannot be overstated. Representative Sponholz said it again. We are really losing that in our school system. And when I was in second and third grade, our teachers required us to say the American's Creed every day. I believe in the United States of America as the government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrifice their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. And I leave it to you to decide how valuable that is, but it gets back to civic education. It forms in a child that there is an idea of virtues that are higher than himself, and that there's a calling on his life, and that it's really hard to be a narcissist when that works its way down into your conscience. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Senator Hughes.
Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate that, and I'm impressed that you were able to just rattle that off, Representative Kopp. I just wanted to mention, because I've been hearing a lot of things, to just give you all a heads up. We are planning a hearing to talk about infrastructure specifically, to bring in those that provide infrastructure in our state, so we can kind of know what the baseline is and what the needs might be and what it might look like to get it to the point where we could use technology across the states. And we also are going to have an opportunity to focus on teacher recruitment and retention. Some of this, Commissioner, I haven't even had a chance to talk to you, but I know that that is a real concern. And also the Every Student Succeeds Act, we're going to look at an update of that, so we better understand that, since that's relatively new. And then I'd also invite committee members, if you have ideas for things that you think that would be helpful to lay a foundation for us as we get going, I welcome that input from you. So I was just thinking, as far as civics and as far as you mentioned, Representative, is it Fansler, about culture, history, this whole concept of what I'm calling virtual learning, virtual education. These are avenues which would just be wonderful to be able to offer those across the state and in communities. So with that, it is, are you going to continue?
I just want to make one comment. It's been absolutely fascinating, Senator, to hear everyone's perspectives this morning, and I appreciate the commissioner and staff in their presentation. But just remember that last year the standardized tests crashed and burned because of circumstances beyond our control. I believe it was a backhoe operator in Kansas that broke the connection and caused us to cancel our standardized testing. We live in a very complex place, and have to be extremely careful how we move forward and how we commit our communities and schools to various forms of technology. We've got to be prepared with a backup, a redundancy, and a few other of those great technical terms that will ensure that all of our kids have equal opportunities that continue. I think we need to adjourn the joint meeting, Senator Hughes, and if the House members are interested in continuing, we may continue. Is that all right? So
can I just make a comment?
Yes, go ahead.
I would just say, because we do are scheduled at the same time, there may be things that we might want to meet again together jointly. Because of that, if you as a House, you can do whatever you want, but mm-hmm. I'm going to be bummed because I will miss the conversation that's going on. So it's kind of up to you, and I don't know how the other senators feel about that. So I'll leave that up to your committee.
Thank you, Madam. Thank you, Senator. Seeing no more questions, I'll remind House members that there will be no House Education Committee meeting on Monday. Our next meeting will be the House Education Finance Subcommittee meeting next Wednesday, January 25th at 8 a.m. Senator Hughes, if you want to announce this next Senate meeting, that's all right as well. But if not, that's okay. And with that, we're adjourning the joint meeting of the House and Senate Education Committees at 9:32 a.m.